Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. You want to text me, tell me I'm an idiot for not liking gambling or whatever. 251-343-0106. Still to come, Mark Shirey from Mobile, to be precise, one of our members of the delegation here, coming up in about a half hour. And tentatively speaking, I don't know, but David Sessions, we have several calls out to him, so he might join us at the bottom of that 11 o'clock hour. Either way, make sure you stay tuned. But joining us now, first time on the show, and I've been hearing his name for years, but just never really had the opportunity to meet him until now. But I'm very pleased to be joined by State Representative Van Smith from Chilton County. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the opportunity.
Hey, thanks for making time for us. Well, you've seen this game for a while. This is a pretty busy time. You know, like three really big marquee things going on in this building. Now, granted, some of it's going on in the Senate, some of it's going on downstairs at the House. But I think, like, fundamentally, when you look at the state changing, school choice, gambling, and I think to some degree, this whole IVF discussion, but bigger picture-wise, just the Supreme Court decision and what all of that means. Am I wrong to think that? Doesn't this seem like it's like almost chaotic?
Oh, yes. Compared to last year, this has been an extremely busy year, but there have been many topics that are very controversial, too. And I think you kind of hit on three that are there. There's definite feelings one way or the other. In a couple of them, there's some concessions that can be given within the bills. And I think we see that possibly playing out as we've moved bills from the House to the Senate, and the Senate's modifying them, making them maybe a little more palatable to our citizens.
Well, and then you got to deal with this, like, you know, whatever the Senate does, it's almost like an etch-a-sketch. You shake it up, and then you got to kind of start all over.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. When our bills are sent up there, that's one good thing about having a supermajority with Republicans. They're free thinkers, and they're really going to analyze things, and they have opinions, and they have interests that they feel like that they should, weigh and then apply to these bills that come out. And so that puts controversy in there occasionally, even within parties, whether it be Democrat or Republican.
Well, let's kick it off with this one. This is the big one, at least as far as my listeners are concerned. If you can tell by some of the texts I read, but gambling, you are no vote on gambling. This bill, the way I keep telling people, like, we do everything incrementally in this state. We did the grocery tax or the gas tax, even, you know, incrementalism. The way we're doing the school choice, incrementalism. This gambling bill is not incremental at all. They just took, and I say this all the time, they took the entire apple and just shoved it in their mouth and not a bite at a time. It feels, even if you're for gambling, like you're trying to do too much at once.
Well, I was a no vote and still am a no vote unless I see something much different. And philosophically, gambling, I just do not align with that. I've seen gambling affect families very adversely, and so I have difficulty doing that. But as you said there, to get that entire apple in their mouth, it took a lot of massaging to get it there. And when we look at those issues that are there, there's no doubt we have a problem with gambling in Alabama, and it's not taxed. Now, you know, the Indians, they run a really good program. I'm not throwing off on them. I'm just philosophically against gambling. But to go from kind of the Wild Wild West gambling that we have now to the full-fledged everything that's in Atlantic City and in Las Vegas, that would really, I think, change the culture of Alabama.
Well, let me ask you this, and you can tell me what you think of it, but what I find, when you talk to a lot of people, a lot of lawmakers, but others, like, people just want the right to vote on gambling. And, yeah, people do say that, but I, the way I look at it, Representative, it's just I don't think there's that many people who are like, I demand my right to vote on a lottery or whatever. That just sounds more to me like a convenient talking point.
Well, you know, we were told that as we went to caucus is that people want to vote and that some of them want to vote against it and some want to vote for it. And understandably so. And I hope people don't take offense at what I'm about to say. But I had three children. And my wife and I, if we voted on everything at my house, the children would have been three votes and I would have been two. And like I said, I'm not trying to compare the electorate to children, but there's detrimental facts that we know about gambling that there's a good possibility the entire population of Alabama, they're not aware of it, or they're not considering the adverse effects that it will have on the state of Alabama. So that idea of having the opportunity to vote, I think, can be challenged in that we don't let people vote when they don't have all the facts.
Well, and that's it, right? It is, we don't have direct democracy. And that's, if you don't like the way your lawmaker votes, then vote them out. But on this one, I mean, you know, like, where do you draw the line, Representative? I demand the right to vote on legal heroin. I demand of, I mean, I, you know, the, why is gambling suddenly the different thing? I think that's a cheap talking point. I mean, you and I agree on that, but you're not, I guess the question would be this. Your constituents aren't like, Representative, I demand you give us the right to vote on a lottery or whatever, are they?
Oh, no. If I look at all the correspondence that I got, at best, it's balanced. And it's a very small group, and they're not an organized group, just a very small sampling of Alabamians. And you'll have some say I'm totally against and some I'm totally for. And I would say very well balanced in that.
Well, and I think this, it's an issue that maybe it's on your radar, maybe not. But like you ranking everything in the state that you would like to see your lawmakers address, gambling, I really believe is way, way, way down the list. And it is not like there's an enthusiasm gap. And while people may be polled and say, yeah, sure, I'd like to vote on a lottery, they don't wake up out, get out of bed and say, I want to vote, you know, I want to vote on a lottery today or whatever. It's just kind of out there.
Well, any time that we have gambling come up or we have increase in taxes come up, it's very easy to try to hold children hostage and say gambling is going to be beneficial to children. We're not going to, well, it's hard to get people to rally around prisons or rally around roads and bridges, but they'll rally around children. And so a lot of times we'll just hold those children hostage and say, you know, we're not going to have a scholarship program, we're not going to have grant programs unless we get this. And so I do feel like that's a little bit manipulative.
Well, the other part of this that's kind of odious, and I, sure, we tax it and the government, if you think that government is wise and could do things with money or whatever, well, that's one thing. But let's not ignore the fact that somebody's got to get rich off of this, right? Besides the government. The government doesn't really get rich. But that there is a special interest component that seems to be kind of just right underneath the radar here, that there are going to be winners and losers at the cost of society over gambling.
Well, I know the casinos that I have seen, and I've been to Las Vegas. I don't really care to go back, but I am glad I had the opportunity to go there. But I don't see any of them that are just breaking even. They're making a tremendous amount of money, and they're building some really nice facilities, and they're doing that on the backs of someone. And so if it's a voluntary tax through gambling, it's still monies that they're collecting.
Well, that's what we need to know, though. The push for gambling, it's not grassroots, guys. It's not like this organic thing that somebody said, hey, I have an idea, and then they marched on Montgomery or whatever. I mean, it's in some ways, I think, very astroturf, very, very ginned up, very generated, create this perception. And I say this to lawmakers all the time. I've never seen such an effort with polling to convince the public that the public supports something. You know, like when have we ever seen that?
Right. We do see it occasionally, but this has been a real push with polling. And as you look at statistics and you look at polling, you can get it to say what you would like for it to say. So I'm not out there campaigning against gambling. I am just... I'm just not for gambling, and I really believe that if it passes, maybe 5 years, 10 years from now, I think we'll see a totally different Alabama. And I'm not saying necessarily the taxpayers of Alabama, but I would say controlling interests that are in Alabama that you don't see now, and you see them having a tremendous amount of influence on what goes on in the state.
Joined by State Representative Van Smith here on the program. Representative, we'll change gears here. And you hear a lot. I mean, it runs straight through your district. We'll talk roads and bridges, too, in particular. But first, how important would it be, especially Chilton County, where every time I go through there, somewhere between the Verbena exit and the devil, go to church or the devil will get you sign, I'm stuck in traffic. What do you think? Is it time to six-lane 65?
Oh, I am very much a proponent of that. We have such tourism that comes the long way through Alabama from the Tennessee line to our wonderful beaches. And we've got the goose that laid the golden egg in Orange Beach, in Gulf Shores, and I'm afraid that there's a lot of our friends from up north that are going to quit coming to our beaches if they're going to have to sit in traffic for hours at a time in that area you just mentioned. And we see the six laning or maybe even eight laning down just past Alabaster, and then you don't have it anymore until you get to Montgomery. And I really think that ALDOT, that ought to be a project. Of course, I would love to see ALDOT come out with, we've got short-term projects, we've got intermediate projects, we've got long-term projects, and kind of get on a schedule and let's work to get those things done. And that would have to be a priority. Now, each time I've talked to friends at ALDOT, I find that right now they have I-85 has a higher priority because of deaths and because of wrecks. I don't want to see us have more deaths and wrecks on 65 so that our ranking goes up, but I sure would like to see some priority given to that to get us to the beaches. And once we get on down in South Alabama too, the Beach Express going in from 65 down toward Orange Beach, I love that route. Love to see it finished.
My state senator, Chris Elliott, down my way, says this all the time. We're having tie-ups on I-65 in your district because of the checkout time in Orange Beach. It tells you there's something fundamentally wrong here that should have been addressed long, long ago.
Well, the way that winds up affecting us, too, is most of you that have been in those traffic jams out there, you'll maybe stay in on 65 going north or south, and then all of a sudden it clears up and you don't know what caused that. And I don't know if it's something fundamentally with checkout times. I've never heard that. But what we do deal with is we deal, especially in the Thorsby Jemison exits, along in there, we get a lot of 65 traffic put on to our county roads getting over to 31. And so then in so doing, we run it by two of our elementary schools that are extremely crowded. So just think about a 3 o'clock exit from school, and you've got 65 traffic coming because of an accident or a traffic jam on 65. So it gets further complicated in there with not just weekends. It can be any day of the week.
Well, last question we'll get you out of here on this, and I already asked you this during the break, but I'm asking it on air. Are we going to see Highway 82 between Prattville and Tuscaloosa four-laned in our lifetime?
You know, as a young adult, I think we had some campaigning that was done on four-laning Highway 82 between Montgomery and Tuscaloosa, and portions of it were.
Right.
I know it runs right through my district, and so I would love to see it. And I really think it would be an economic driver for the state. But we still have tremendous amounts of truck traffic coming from that west and northwest Alabama that cutting through there rather than coming all the way to Birmingham and coming down 65. And in some ways, if we four-laned 82, it would take some pressure off of I-65. Now, I still think 65 should be our priority, but I really would love to see that. And we mentioned four-laning, and we're four-laning the bypass around Prattville, and that's my first hope, is let's get through with that first.
Well, I mean, the state capital, the flagship university of the state, should be kind of connected by something better than what they have right now.
It would be a wonderful opportunity, a great thoroughfare. And like I said, through the majority of the state of Alabama, Highway 82 is four-laned. And now, not so much when we go on east of Montgomery. Yeah. So,
Representative Van Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Representative, thanks for making time for us.
It's great to be here, and thank you, and enjoy your program.
Thank you. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. It's good to see you. I must go. I know I look a fright.